So good to be here in the house, Lord, this morning, again this morning. So glad that you're able to be here. What better place is there to go than to the house of the Lord? There is no better place. Well, take your Bibles this morning as we consider Psalm number 121. Psalm number 121. I've entitled this the Perfect COVID Psalm. The Perfect COVID Psalm. As we go through this psalm this morning, I think you're going to see why I picked that as the subject matter for Psalm number 121. I'm going to read the psalm, and then we will pray and dive into the message this morning. 121, the Perfect COVID Psalm. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Let us pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be in your house this morning. Thank you, Lord, for being able to be here in person. Thank you for those that are looking at the service by way of technology now and will later. We ask as we go through Psalm 121 that you might thrill our hearts with how great and how powerful and how knowledgeable, and you have everything in line for us. You know everything. You're aware of it. You're way ahead of us. And we are so thankful for that this morning. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me now for the message. I trust and depend in you to bring this. I don't trust in myself. I am mere sinful flesh. And I need you to bring this message this morning. So I trust and depend in you for that. We ask that you might thrill our hearts with our Savior, with our great God in heaven, our Father who watches over us, is our gatekeeper. He's everything for us, and we are so thankful. So guide us and direct us. Bless our hearts with the Psalm 121 today. We give you praise. We give you thanksgiving for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Psalm number 121 is a psalm that has been and is read by people who are traveling. People who are going somewhere. People who are going to college. People who are leaving home and going to another place. Missionaries, as they leave America and go to their mission field, many of them will read this psalm as they are leaving. Some people call Psalm 121 the Traveler's Psalm. We're going to be looking at 6 points this morning. Each of them will have the key word, will begin with the letter T. And so we will use that one I just said for our first point this morning. So point number one, the Traveler's Psalm. The Traveler's Psalm. Many of you know the name of the great missionary to Africa, David Livingstone. Well, David Livingstone, as he was preparing to go to Africa, worshipped one more time with his father and with his sister before they went. And as they were preparing for him to leave, they read Psalm number 121, and they added to that also Psalm number 135. He left for Africa in the year 1840. J.S. Watson, a rear admiral in the U.S. Navy during the Spanish-American War, cited Psalm 121 as his favorite psalm. He loved that psalm, and he especially loved the last two verses, verses number 7 and 8. And as we read those, you understand why men and women in the military would love those last two verses of Psalm 121. William Edwards of England, during fierce fighting in the Indian Mutiny of 1857, also said he loved Psalm number 121. His favorite verse was number 1 in that psalm. Yes, Psalm 121 is most definitely the traveler's psalm. Point number 2 this morning, the trusting pilgrim's faith. The trusting pilgrim's faith. The Jewish people made it their mission in life to leave their homes and to head to Jerusalem for their annual feasts. And so as they would travel, they made their way through the highlands of Judah on their way to Jerusalem. And when we consider how and what they had to travel through, we can well understand why this psalm would be very special to them. They would be going down well-trodden paths. They didn't have nice roads. They didn't have highways. They didn't have our nice vehicles that we have to get around. And so they would be walking down well-trodden paths across valleys, along rivers, over mountain passes, and it would be easy to see that Psalm 21 was very special to them. So they've been traveling for days now. They are hiking it. They are walking it. They are resting here as they go. And then suddenly, as their feet are so sore and their muscles are aching, they begin to see the hills of Judah as they are approaching Jerusalem. And so they would break into song with verses 1 and 2. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. This would also be a special psalm for the Israelites who were in any kind of a captivity. As they had been hauled off to foreign lands, this psalm would come to their mind. They'd be thinking of their homeland. They'd be thinking of Jerusalem. And the words of this psalm would captivate them as they thought of the prospect, maybe one day we will get back to the wonderful city of Jerusalem for worship. The prospect of the peace of God's house and His guardian care of God fills their minds. Protection is a big word here. Protection by God under the watchful eye of God is the dominant theme of Psalm number 121. In Hebrew, there is only one word that, and we take that one word and we translate it in this passage as watches over, preserves, and keeps. That word in Hebrew is shamar, and it is used 6 times here in Psalm 121. It's in verses 3, 4, 5, 7, and 8. Also in this psalm, you'll notice words like I, my, you, and your. These are indicative of internal dialogue that someone, the psalmist, is having as he wrote these words. This also happens in Psalms 42 and 43, where we have looked at these words, why are you cast down, O my soul? I will yet praise Him, my awesome God. Point number 3 this morning is the truth about our God. The truth about our God. We're also looking at verses 1 and 2 as we consider the truth about our God. For the pilgrim approaching Jerusalem, the mountains around Jerusalem suggested in their hearts Jerusalem. So when they're saying, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help, they're not looking at these hills as where they're getting their help. You go on to verse number 2, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. My help comes from the God who made these hills, the God who created these mountains that we are going through to get to our wonderful city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, God's city, the place that He chose for His earthly dwelling. So to look to the hills meant to look to God for their daily help, for one's true help. Also, the stanza can be a rejection of the hills and looking straight to God Himself. Why do I say rejecting of the hills? Because where did the pagans build their high places? Where did the pagans build their worship centers? In the mountains, in the hills. For some reason, they thought, I guess, that their God would be more apt to listen to them if we got a little bit higher than down in the valley. Well, their gods were identified with the mountains, and that is mentioned in the Old Testament at least 78 times. And so over the course of the Israel's history, what should Israel have done about those high places? They should have torn them down. But many times they did not. They actually went there themselves and worshiped. Except when good little King Josiah came on the scene, that was the end of the high places because he took care of that business. Well, the faithful pilgrim looked beyond the mountains and to God, their Creator. They looked to the One who had made them. The psalmist looks to God, which made heaven and earth. To worship the gods in the mountains is useless. It is idolatry. God said, don't be doing that. Get rid of that. It is wicked. We need one God and one God alone, and that is our Creator God. And so the psalmist is leaping beyond the hills, leaping beyond the mountains, and even leaping beyond the universe to God, His Creator. Right now, as we're driving around, and maybe you probably got to see some of the beautiful leaves turning on the trees as you came to church this morning. We are in prime time, yellows, oranges, and reds of our leaves of the trees right now, and they are absolutely beautiful. But are we looking to them for help? No! Our God created those trees. He's turning them colors right now with the changing of His seasons. And we enjoy that, but we are not looking to them for help. Our help comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Point number four this morning, the trusted protector. The trusted protector. We'll be taking in almost all of our verses in this point this morning. God is in the business of helping His children. That's you and me here this morning. God is in the business of helping us. How does He do that? Well, Psalm 121 gives us three images that show us how God is helping His children. Number one, God is a vigilant watchman. God is a vigilant watchman. Verses 2, 3, and 4. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. What a great God. Our God doesn't go to bed. Our God doesn't forget about us and take a nap. Never. He never, ever does that. God is a vigilant watchman. Alexander the Great, that great Greek young general, was asked, how in the world do you sleep so soundly in the midst of the battles that are raging all around us? And this is what he said. He said, Parmenio, my faithful guard is watching over me. Well, you know what? Parmenio is no good for all of us here, is he? He's dead and he's gone. But our God is alive. And our God is watching over us right now. He always has been and always will be. How much more soundly should we sleep when God, who never slumbers or sleeps, is guarding us? Remember this tonight. When you go to bed, you can go off to sleep in peace because our God is a vigilant watchman. The second image we see here in Psalm 121 is God is the shade at our right hand. God is the shade at our right hand, verses 5 and 6. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. In the days when the Israelites would go over the hills and the valleys and down by the rivers and over the mountains, sunstroke is a very possibility in your life. It was a big danger in hot regions. And so the psalmist is letting us know that nothing that happens in daytime, nothing that happens in nighttime can harm us if our God is keeping watch over us. He watches through the heat. He watches through the cold. He watches through the night. I don't know about you, but I'm not a real fan of nighttime. I don't like to be outside somewhere during the night. You know, who's behind that tree? Who's hiding in the parking lot? Who's behind that bush? You know, whatever. I don't like nighttime, being out there alone at night. I don't like that at all. But something I got to keep in mind is my God's out here with me. Our God is the God of the night as well as the God of the day. And He will watch over us no matter where we are. God is our covering. God is our shade against the beating things of life, the visible perils of the day, as well as the invisible perils of the night. Our God is there. He is watching over us. And then the third image is God is our protector always. God is our protector always. That's why verses 7 and 8 are the favorite of military people. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Yes, the soldiers that know Christ, they pray this psalm. They know it well. This fourth stanza, verses 7 and 8, is a very powerful stanza. It sums up the psalm with several intensifying statements, four of them. God will keep us from all harm. 2, God will watch over our lives. 3, God will watch over our comings and goings. And 4, God will do all of that both now and forevermore. I like number 4 the best. Now and forevermore. Now, take your Bibles this morning and turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. What are we going there for? Well, Romans chapter 8 contains the Psalm 121 of the New Testament. So this is Psalm 21 of the New Testament. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or a sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Look a little bit farther to the little book of Jude. The little book of Jude, right before Revelation. The very last two verses of the book of Jude are also like a Psalm 121. We also can use this as a benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. That's how powerful our... He is able. He is the only one who is able. Point number five this morning, the troubles of life will assail us. The troubles of life will assail us. Is it true that we will be protected from all harm if God is with us? Will we never have troubles in our life? Well, I think we all know this morning that we're going to have troubles, and we've had troubles, and we're going to have troubles, right? We are living examples, living proof of that. Psalm 121 acknowledges that we are going to need help on our pilgrimage. We are on a pilgrimage. This world is not our home. We are passing through. We got to remember that. This is not our home. This is a little brief time that we have here on this earth. And as we're here on this earth, there's one decision, there's one commitment that we better make, and that is we had better accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior and make Him the Lord of our life. Because that determines heaven or hell and ultimately the lake of fire. And so we know that while we're here in this temporary pilgrimage, Psalm 121 acknowledges we're going to need help from our God. God is the one that we go to. He is our helper. We need watching. We need someone to watch over, someone to protect, because the troubles of life are going to assail us. There are many forces arrayed against us in this life here on earth. What are some of them? Well, troubles, hardships, persecution, disease, sickness, danger, government, and hostile people. And I might just say, all of those things are going on right now. These are the forces that are against us. They are arrayed against us. They are all very bad, but none of them will be able to separate the Christian from his God. And that is key. That's the main thing. Whatever comes in our life, it is not going to take us away from our God. It is not going to cancel heaven for us. It doesn't matter what it is. We are on our way to heaven to be with our Savior forever and ever and ever. And so Paul, in his writings, we know the great hardships that he endured. More than anybody else, he went through things that we've never gone through, probably never will go through. And you add up this whole great big list, and he's been through all of it. And we've probably not been through a fourth of it. So let us consider his words. Let us turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And let us rehearse one more time his words about the things that he has gone through in his life. The troubles of life, point number five, the troubles of life will assail us. Let us listen to Paul's words here in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 29. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. And his prisons weren't nice like ours. In deaths, oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters. Waters. How many of you really enjoy being out in the middle of the pool where you can't touch the bottom? Or out in the ocean and you can't touch the sand on the bottom. Do you like that? I don't like it. Not at all. Not at all. But yet Paul, he got stuck out there for days. It was not nice. The perils of life. And so here he is. He was out in the water, journeyings often, perils of waters, perils of robbers, perils by mine own countrymen, and perils by the heathen, and perils in the city, and perils in the wilderness. My grandkids were watching this program last night out in the woods. And out in the woods, I didn't realize how many bears are in our woods. There's a lot of bears out there. And on there, they showed this tree where a bear had taken his one claw and just raked it down that tree. That's a little scary. Trees are a lot tougher than we are. Perils in the wilderness. All those bears are out there. In perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I burn not? Every time I read the words of Paul about what he went through in his life, I marvel. I marvel that he kept with the program. He did not quit. He never quit. He never threw in the towel. He served the Lord all the days of his life through all of that, and probably more. And one day, Paul was put to death for his faith. That day came when he was put to death. Paul had experienced great difficulties in his life, yet none of them separated him from Christ's love and where Paul is right now. Paul right now is with the Lord in heaven, enjoying the glories of heaven, and has been for 2,000 years. And he is there in heaven with Jesus forever. Now, we've all studied this passage before. Many of us have read this same set of verses many, many, many times. We've gone down through it and we say, man, how in the world did he put up with all of those sufferings and hardships? And we're very familiar with what he did. Well, That day came when the Apostle Paul was going to be beheaded. And as they call him out of his jail cell and they take him out to where they're going to chop off his head, what do you think Paul said? Do you think Paul said, "Oh man, I can't believe this is happening. Oh, I wish I could go back 15 years." Now this is just me. This is what I think he said. "Finally! Finally, I'm going home to be with my Savior." Remember what Paul said, "It's better for you that I'm still here with you, but I'd rather go to be with the Lord." Remember that? Now that the time has come and he is going to go be with the Lord, that's just me now. "Finally, here we go. I'm going to go home to be with my Savior. No more 2 Corinthians 11 for me. I'm out of here. And I'm going to enjoy the Lord and all the saints forever and ever and ever." Point number 6, the thwarting of evil. The thwarting of evil. The point of Psalm 121 is not that we will not have problems, but that God will keep us safe as we go through them. That's the point. We are going to have problems, but the point is God will be with us through those problems. I don't know how people that aren't saved do it. I don't know how they cut it. They don't. It is bad. Now, I can't even imagine the emotions and the turmoil of their hearts and minds that an unbeliever goes through when they have the troubles of life. We don't have that because our God is with us in the trouble. That is the point of Psalm 121. God will keep us safe as we go through them. The promise of this psalm is not that we shall never stumble. The promise is not that we're never going to kick our toe on some brick or stone somewhere. That is not it at all. But that no injury, no illness, no problem will have evil power over us. None of those things are going to have evil power over us at all. None of those things will be able to separate us from God's purposes and plan for our life. You know, you probably have had this happen to you. I've had it happen to me. You know, we're going along in life and maybe we're in the midst of a struggle and a storm right now and things are not going the way they ought to be going, so we think. And that wicked devil comes to us and he says, "You know, if you weren't such a bad person, your life would be so rosy. It would be so nice. You know, the Christian life is supposed to be just an easy road." Did the devil ever come and tell you that? "Oh, this ought to be a piece of cake for you." What is that? That's a fantasy. That is a fantasy. In this world, we're going to have these things come up. But none of it will be able to separate us from God's purposes in our life. The Christian life is not a bed of roses. The Christian life is this. The Christian life is going to God. When these things come in your life, you go to God. You go to Psalm 121 and you start to read, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and earth." And then we get to these last two wonderful verses, 7 and 8. "The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore." The Christian life is about going to God. All of us here this morning, all of you watching from videos, we are all subject to the same things every day that we live. We are all in this boat together. The Christian life is about going to God. And Psalm 121 shows us what we have in our God. Each step that we take, each breath that we breathe, we know that we are preserved by God. We know that we are accompanied by God. We know that we are ruled by God. And so we know that God will preserve us from evil and He will keep us safe through our life. So as believers and as we absorb this wonderful Psalm, number 121, we will look to God. We will follow the Lord Jesus Christ who said these words, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And that is what we have in our great God. Take Psalm 121 and stick it in the bank of your heart. Refer to it often. It will be a help. It will be a blessing. It'll help you to keep your mind focused on what it ought to be focused on. And that is, we get to God. The Christian life is about going to God. Get in the Word. Get to prayer. Keep your life clean. Stick with your great God in heaven. Let us pray. Father, thank you this morning for this great Psalm 121. What encouragement we find here. What comfort we find here. We find truth. We find that our Savior is always watching over us. He is protecting us. He is taking us through the storms of life. He is with us at all times. And so may we live our lives with that confidence. We have a great God in heaven. We have the Lord Jesus living in our heart. Spirit is there. We are so thankful for that. May we indeed walk victoriously in this life because we can. Because we have you, our great God, our great Father, our great Savior, and the great Spirit of Christ who lives within us. All the glory, all the praise we give to you, our great God in heaven. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.